Hi there, listener. You're about to experience Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games, and there will be plenty of game talk, but also copious amounts of crude, off-color, offensive, and immature speech. So if you are of a rather sensitive humor constitution, we're just letting you know what you're in for with this show. It has games. It has jokes. You know, just games and jokes. Take the games, take the jokes, and have a good time.
Hello, Internet, and welcome to another Tadpog Podcast. It's a show where two old guys talk about old games or interesting games or just requested games, anything like that, because it's Other Shit Monday. Today, because it was on sale on Steam and we just happened to get it, and Dave and I was on our wish list, we'll be talking about Skullgirls.
Mm-hmm. It's been on my wish list for a very long time. Yep.
I think since it debuted, I was like, oh, I like to play that. Click.
Same here.
So
I want to go ahead and apologize for if you may or may not be able to hear Tadpog frogs that are outside. I know I can hear them in the monitors, but then again, I can normally hear Trainsy in the monitors as well, and no one ever claims to hear Trainsy. But rest assured, there are frogs outside my window.
we're doing this from a swamp today. So let's wait for Swamp Thing, and we'll just go sit in the swamp and do a podcast.
We've got a pool that we never clean or ever open, so it's pretty much just frogs live there now. Frogs are like, hey, man. Free pond.
I like that you have a frog habitat. It's nice. It's all Dave's frog habitat.
I think that I need to do that as a tax write-off or something.
So eventually one will yield a frog suit, and then it'll be good for two stages of your whole life, right. And then it's going to suck.
Right.
But I'm your bearded host, Tyler, and since Skullgirls is a game...
About skulls. And girls.
I thought I would tell a story about my interactions with a girl.
You have a lot of those. I like them.
It's a really, really bad date I went on.
How old were you?
I was a freshman in college.
Okay. So you knew what was going on.
Yeah. Because I was still like in that awkward period getting over my high school girlfriend and transitioning from the conservative bastion that was the high school and county where I grew up in into just going an hour away to university was like a whole different world.
Well, it's funny because it's like you're going from one reserved bastion to one that's just a little bit less reserved.
A little bit, but it made a difference. I did a lot of theater in college, and there was a girl from, I think she was a vet student, decided to do a few shows, you know, just for fun. And I thought she was very attractive. I ended up flirting with her, did some shows with her, asked her out, went on a date. Some friends, and Dave, you've been here before, that there is a place that, a haunted house of sorts, local, that we've nicknamed the Blair Witch House.
Right.
Because it looks just like the house from the end of Blair Witch.
Mm-hmm. Dead kids and everything.
Dead kids. Somebody, you walk in, there's always somebody like jumping on one leg in the corner.
It's just lousy with dead kids. You can't take a step to the old decrepit piano without tripping over a dead kid.
So first, like I picked her up at her dorm. We went to a party for a little while first. And then I took her to Blair Witch House.
Like you do. Was this the first date?
This was a first date.
Okay.
The date was going, like the party was so-so, like... introduced her to my friends.
Man, she really liked you, it sounds like.
Oh, she could have.
She really liked you.
But I told her, like, and I played it the whole angle. I was like, so we're in this haunted house. If you get scared, you can totally just grab onto my arm. That's okay. And she's like, okay. We went in. She enjoyed exploring the old haunted house. The
Hauntanarium.
Yeah, the Hauntanarium. With its weird prescription pill bottles from the 50s and pianos and old television sets.
Oh,
and
memories.
Yeah.
That's a person's memories. Isn't that weird to think about?
Yep.
So what happened? So you killed her in there, right?
We were there. We went back to Murray to... One of the few 24-hour restaurants, Log Cabin.
Oh, the Log Cabin.
Mm-hmm.
Link slices his thumb off into food.
we had some good old Log Cabin burgers. The date was going really, really well.
It sounds really good.
It was. We were getting along. It was going exceptionally well. But another one of us wanted it to end. So I was like, okay, well, let's go back to my apartment and watch a movie. And if, I mean, I feel like maybe I've led the listeners, and I know you know, me and movies do not mesh. Do not mesh. I don't like sitting home watching movies. It's not my thing.
You don't even like going out to the movies, really.
It has to be an epic movie for me to really want to go.
It has to be a large group of people going.
Yeah.
Like, you are not the friend that I call when it's like, hey, man, this sweet-ass art house flick just came out. Would you like to go see it?
Yeah, because I don't know. I'd rather watch... I get so invested in characters that I'd rather watch TV. Just like a two-hour movie does not do it
for me. And that's totally the way you describe art house flick, is sweet ass. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's called Transformers. I hear it's pretty sweet ass.
This sweet Dadaist Michael Bay came out with this. But we went back to my place, watched a movie, watched Cruel Intentions.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Had you seen it before?
Yes, I've seen it. It's a few times.
Had she seen it before?
She had also seen it before.
I mean, you can both appreciate it because you're literate people.
And there was a little, like, we had made some running commentary and stuff like that. But then, like, I was interested in the movie. So I was kind of talking to her, and you could tell she was getting a little perturbed that I was talking during the movie. She didn't like that.
Yeah.
Two, I wanted to kiss her.
Okay.
I did. I wanted to kiss her.
She didn't like that either?
Well... The thing is, like, I wanted to,
uh-huh.
and I just beat around the bush in a lot of weird ways. So, like, I didn't have the balls to actually kiss her. I just wanted to, and I just was weird.
Big
so,
what?
Like, we got really close.
Yeah.
And I, like laid my head on her shoulder.
Uh-huh.
And then at one point in the movie, I laid my head in her lap and was talking to her.
Uh-huh.
And, like, she was...
I mean, it doesn't sound too weird, but then again... Yeah, I mean, it's your first date.
Yeah, like, I'm leaning close, like, I want to kiss her, and then I just laid in her lap and talked to her like she was consoling me after a bad breakup. It just got super awkward and weird. Like, I was clearly had some tension, but I was not making my move at all. And then talking in the movie, and then that completely, like, turned her off.
I can't believe that she made it all the way. She had a blast at the Hauntinarium.
Yep.
She had a blast at the log cabin. I mean, those are two scary places. And then you go back to a safe place to watch family-friendly Cruel Intentions. I think it was the movie. I think if you'd have laid your head in her lap when you were watching, like, 101 Dalmatians or something, it would have come off as, like, cute. But because it was Cruel Intentions, I really think that killed it.
I remember, like, I called her a few times and she wouldn't take my calls.
Really?
Yeah.
So what really happened?
That's what really, I mean,
what
I don't
really happened?
I didn't speak to her again until we randomly had a class together.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, we sat close and, like, I talked to her a few times and, like, she didn't have anywhere to go, so she had to talk to me then. And we ended up talking about our date and she was like, no, it was going really well until we got to your house and then you just totally creeped me out. I was like, that's fair enough.
All right. Maybe I think she just wanted a free log cabin meal.
Probably.
And then once she got that sweet, sweet cabin in her, she was like, well, thanks, dude.
So I've learned now, like, confidence, it's kind of an important thing to have.
I wouldn't know. What's up, internet? I am trying that out for the last couple episodes. Hope you've been enjoying that intro. I know I have. It makes me feel like I've got my own little identity.
With your
over
buddies
here.
The internet.
What's up, internet? I love it. I am Dave, your bespectacled host, the other half of Tadpog. And when I was about 7 years old, I changed my laugh. I found the manual for myself under my crib when I was very young, and I tucked it away until I was old enough to read, and then I read it. I learned how to reprogram myself.
I'm just thinking of the dead handbook from Beetlejuice.
Yes. Yeah. It's very similar to that, but it's, man, you got to have a real good technical understanding of children's brains in order to do this. I hated my laugh. Well, okay, let me rephrase that. I used to have one of those laughs where, you know, you do like this long inhale and it, after the laugh and it makes a noise where it's like, yeah. I did one of those where like, it was normal. I do my normal laugh, but then at the end it would be, and it was just because it was, that's just how I laughed. That's mm-hmm. just like when I thought something was funny, that's what came out. And then I remember going to preschool and some kids there told me that was weird. And that made me sad.
No.
So I was like, I got to pull that manual out. I'm going to reprogram my laugh. And I did. And that's the laugh that I use now. And it's why I feel no joy.
See, now I know if I could ever make you do that laugh, then you are truly, truly amused.
You'd have to build a time machine, dog. Because I guess that remark just cut me to the fucking bone, man. Because I haven't laughed like that in a long time. Maybe that's why when I start laughing really hard, like I start crying. I think it's because I'm really sad that I can't truly laugh at this thing that I think is really funny.
I can't express my joy. I must scream, but I have no mouth.
Yeah, so that's my story. I guess for the rest of this episode, I'll use my real laugh.
Yeah. Before we dive into Skullgirls, have you been playing anything interesting this week?
Man, you mentioned it on last show a little bit. Hearthstone came out. Mm-hmm. The Blizzard card game came out on iPad, and I had been playing it on the desktop and my MacBook for a bit and then kind of fell off. But since it's come out on the iPad, man, they pulled me back in. This game is fucking fun as shit. I know that's the technical term. That's the journalistic way of reviewing a game. It is fucking fun as shit, dog.
Games are fun as shit, and art as films are sweet ass. The Guide to Adjectives by Dave Moore.
Yeah, I swear I actually have a vocabulary somewhere. So I've been playing that, and it's a blast. It's free. If you're into card games at all, I would check it out. You do have to have a Battle.net account. That's the only caveat.
I wonder if I have mine for Diablo 2 still floating around.
Yeah, that's a good question, man. Do you have any of the email addresses associated with that account?
I might.
I would seriously check the game out, because I know you like Magic the Gathering, and this is essentially like a simplified version of Magic the Gathering, because let's face it, Magic the Gathering got really complicated.
Yeah.
Have you been playing anything recently?
The other day, I had a whole day free, and I just mowed through a lot of the bees in the Great Steam Challenge.
We're back on the Steam Challenge.
We're back on it.
Are we out of the bees?
Now that I got through Batman,
right.
it's come back.
You could have just deleted it.
That's true. Well, I'm almost to the bees.
You're almost to the bees. Okay.
I think I have like three more bees and I'm done. Let's see. I can't play any more Bionic Commando Rearmed.
Why not?
Because here's the thing. Like, because it's a remake of an older game.
Really?
But they, they kept a lot of the shitty things about the older game. Like, I feel like a remake, this is the criticism of Retro City Rampage, in that, like,
I haven't played it yet. Thanks for that, by the way. You gifted it to me.
Because a lot of people say it's a lot of good things about it, but also, like, intentionally, they keep these shitty, frustrating things of the era in the game.
Okay.
Which, like, if you're going to remake something, I kind of feel like maybe do a little bit of that if you want to be, you know, cutesy or just remind people, hey, things have changed.
A nod to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But not really incorporate it strongly into the game. Bionic Commando, it was strong throughout. Like,
really?
One direction firing, you can't jump except for on your awkward
using
hook.
Your arm.
And it was just so blocky and frustrating, I just had to move on.
And that's so weird considering that he was in the latest Marvel vs. Capcom.
If they could have just made it flow a little bit better,
yeah,
it could have been much better.
No,
but
not worth checking out?
No, I don't think it's worth it.
Okay. What else? What other bees did you get to?
Bit Trip Fate.
Okay, yeah. I haven't played it. I played Bit Trip Runner, but not Fate.
Runner is next after Fate. But Fate is, of course, I imagine you go from different character to character, but I couldn't get past Commander Video.
How do you mean? Like you play as different characters?
It shows like five people rocketing in the sky, and then Captain Video kind of strays off and goes on a mission.
Captain Video being the main character from Bit Trip Runner.
Right.
The blocky, pixelated-looking dude.
Also, unlockable character in Super Meat Boy.
Right.
So you're him, and only here in the space mission, you are tethered to a line in space. You can move back and forth on it along this track, and shit is just coming at you from everywhere. And you have to move across and shoot in different directions, but only on this static line. So you're just moving back and forth and in these curly cues, like trying to dodge just all this shit.
Is it rhythm based at all? Or?
I think it is.
That's a bad sign. Well, I think it is.
It seemed to be, but here's the thing. I have no sense of like rhythm or timing or like just like any musical appreciation really. So like the bit trip games are just
that's what they're built around.
Yeah, right? I may as well be a deaf man playing the bit trip games and just doing it on, you know, basic video game mechanics as opposed to trying to incorporate the music and the sound into the, like you're supposed to, to get the rhythm.
It really helps.
So yeah, I cannot do that.
At least in Bit Trip Runner, it's imperative.
Fate I did not like, so I moved on and then started Bit Trip Runner, which I really did like.
Yeah?
I think it is a great, great game.
Okay, what made you like Runner and not Fate?
I guess because it just made more sense. I didn't feel trapped.
Okay.
I guess the same way like Bionic Commando, I just felt trapped by the mechanics, as opposed to Bit Trip Runner, where yes, you're traveling on a straight, you know, jumping, doing different moves, and it keeps increasing the difficulty. But it was still like I got to actually feel like I was doing something of my own volition.
Is it because there was because in Bit Trip Runner, you start from the left and make it all the way to the right, you finish that stage. Is it because of that? Like, is there completion in Bit Trip Fate?
Yeah, you can still get into a level, fight a boss, and you're going left to right. It's still the same thing. It's just, okay. I just didn't think it was fun. This I thought was fun. And the music it's incredible.
Yeah.
Especially because it adds layers and layers and layers. And even me, music just goes over my head. Like, I was really just like getting into the beat of this music because it's so good and it's so just multifaceted and deep, and it was great. But again, the rhythm thing doesn't work for me very well, so I'm playing it by eye as opposed to by eye and by ear. So it was very, very difficult, and it was kind of crushing in the sense like the beat would get really strong, the music is wonderful, and then you would just hit something and you go all the way back to the beginning and it's just a single beat.
And the music, because the music stops and then it's not layered anymore.
It just like it builds your adrenaline up and then just cuts you off. Yeah. And it got very frustrating, especially like when I would get close to the end, have to start all over again.
Yeah, and it's one of those, I felt like playing it, it was really easy to choke on because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like when the beat's really going and you can, it feels like a full sound, you know you're near the end. So like I would always get nervous and be like, I can't fuck up. I know I'm close to the end. I have no visual representation of that, but I'm getting all this audio information telling me that you're close to the end of this track. And then inevitably, I could not stand the pressure.
It is extremely precious. Like I beat the first whole set of worlds, but it's like I can't go back to it. It's too much for me.
Yeah.
It's too difficult, too hard, and too kind of crushing. When I get into it, I want to enjoy it, and it just takes the joy away from me.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, for me, I like rhythm games, so I finished it and enjoyed it, but also I would never go back and play it again.
Yeah,
because it's very difficult. I think it's a very difficult game, and it is nerve-wracking.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to sound really strange, but hang on. Bit Trip Runner kind of reminds me of Dig Dug, because Dig Dug famously plays the music as you move. So, and when you stop, there's no music in Dig Dug. All the music is him moving. So that always, it reminded me of Dig Dug.
I can see that. And the last game I started, I want to finish it, but I feel like there are some issues that make it not very fun.
What is it?
Botanicula.
Banicula? The story of the vampire rabbit?
I wish it was that.
The celery stalks at midnight,
Tyler? That would be fucking great.
That would be great. Why does that game not exist? It has to.
But Botanicula, I think that's botany, so Botanicula, is a point-and-click adventure puzzler. Where...
like the old school Maniac Mansion and stuff like that?
Much more simplistic. Basically, you're on a plant, there's this virus of sorts, some kind of predator on the plant,
like not
sucking life away from it.
Like a power plant or a paper plant? A leafy plant, okay.
So you're on like this big, almost like a tree, essentially.
Okay.
And you are like four or five different characters. And each one
Are you chipmunks or squirrels or?
You're a stick. A mushroom.
I'm out. I'm out.
You're a bunch of plants.
if you're just sticks and pizza toppings, I'm not playing.
And each one has like a different power.
Okay.
You know, like the one, like the big like seed can like roll through things, and the mushroom can float, and the little helicopter plant can fly. So you just move on from screen to screen.
Using their abilities
to progress.
Okay.
But at the same time, it's like, each of their abilities are so wildly different depending on like what just what circumstance you're in. All I'm doing is moving screen to screen, clicking on each plant until something works and then moving on.
Gotcha.
So there's not, it's hard to make a strategy because you don't know what they will react differently on every different puzzle. So it's just move and click, move and click, move and click.
I see that. So you can't develop any tactics because you don't know what they're going to do when you click on them.
I don't know exactly what they're going to do. So why not click on everyone? And you might have to click on them in a certain order so that then they'll build on each other and you can keep moving.
Gotcha.
So
what you're saying, it sounds like, is that a Banicula, the celery stalks at midnight, has a lot more potential.
A lot more potential.
I would like to see that like L.A. Noir style.
But the game is beautiful. The game's absolutely beautiful, but I don't know. I kind of want to keep playing it, but I'll end up going to a game FAQ and just... I know that's what I'll do, because I'll get frustrated, just click, 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 click.
That's not fun.
I may not.
That's like work.
And move on to Brutal Legend, which is the next game.
Brutal Legend. Cool.
You talk about Skullgirls?
Yeah, we can, I guess. I like to do a little segment that I like to call... We done goofed. I pull a new segment on you, Tyler. Shit. A new segment called We Done Goofed.
We done goofed.
You just wrote the bumper. Yeah. That was good. We could pull that out and play it each time. Tony, he's the goof police.
Yep.
He picks out when we make mistakes, and I really appreciate it. Nicole's pretty good, too, but Tony's usually, he's on it. He wanted to let us know that Semisonic sings. Who knows whether they're doing it anymore or not? Tony probably knows. They perform Closing Time, not Sonic Youth.
Semisonic, Sonic Youth, Sonic the Hedgehog. They're all Sonic pretty Boom. Similar.
Go home, be a family man. Yeah. Thank you, Tony. If anyone listening to this episode realizes that we done goofed, let us know so that we can keep this segment going, because I like saying we done goofed.
There's another segment you like to do.
There is another segment I like to do. I usually hear something before it, but there's all these frogs I've got in this frog pond.
It's me trying to do a trumpet.
It's like the cavalry.
The cavalry Dave reads from Wikipedia.
Why cavalry?
I was trying to do a trumpet in tribute to the musical styling of Skullgirls.
Oh, this is kind of long. Ready?
Yep.
Okay, guys, Skullgirls is a 2D fighting game independently developed by Reverge Labs and co-published by Autumn Games and Konami. The game was released through the PlayStation Network and Xbox Live Arcade in North America, Europe, and Australia from April to May 2012, and later received a Japanese release by Cyberfront for the PlayStation Network in 2013. A Microsoft Windows version developed by Lab Zero Games and co-published by Autumn Games. This is boring as hell, man. This is dry. Was released in August 2013. It is also planned to be brought to Japanese arcades. Man, I'd love to go to a Japanese arcade. After Skullgirls was removed from the PlayStation Network and Xbox Live Arcade in December 2013 due to a change in publishers, the game will be re-released as Skullgirls Encore on both platforms.
Which is, that's what we played.
Kinda, I guess. I mean, when I downloaded it from Steam, it was like Skullgirls and Skullgirls Endless Beta.
Yeah. So the production of this is clearly fucked.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, immediately when I was like, there's two games, I don't understand. A red flag went up something in production
this
is weird.
This is the Olympic baton pass of video game development.
Here, this is kind of the meat of it. The game takes place in the fictional Canopy Kingdom and follows a struggle to seek out the Skull Heart. That is a mystical item. I would say artifact.
Yes.
Wikipedia does not. This artifact is capable of granting any woman's wish. And I know they're going to wish to have you lay your head in their lap while you watch Cruel Intentions.
Love it. Ladies,
possibly,
love it.
Possibly, I don't know, 10 Things I Hate About You. That's all.
That would have been a better choice to watch.
If the wisher, Tyler, is impure of heart, however, her wish is corrupted and she is turned into a quote unquote skull girl. Mm. Not a school girl, a Skull Girl, which is a monstrous entity with immense power bent on the destruction of the world. The game's events revolve around various individuals seeking out the current Skull Girl named Marie to defeat her and claim the Skull Heart for their own agendas.
Mm-hmm.
We did say this was a fighting game, but I want to reiterate that.
Yeah. Looking at the video, the preview video, and then on paper, this game sounds amazing because it has so many elements that I really enjoy, and it's done in a really cool way. Like, as I was growing up, I remember there was an artistic aesthetic that I very much enjoyed. I didn't know what to call it.
It's called boobs. Boobs. Breasts.
Even all throughout college, until I played BioShock, I didn't know what it was called.
Art Deco.
So now I know, yes, I absolutely love Art Deco. And that is very much this game's style.
Yes.
Because it has...
Kind of.
It has Art Deco elements.
We're already getting to like a point of contention for me in this game. Yeah. So please continue.
Because it's... If you were to... You take Art Deco, anime, pinup girls, and fan service, along with the magical girl trope, and just smush them all together, and that is Skullgirls.
Yeah, I had a problem with the Art Deco a little bit. I like Art Deco, the style, but this game, I felt like, did not really have a clear direction. It felt like they didn't know what they want or how they wanted to package this fighting game, because it's all Art Deco, but it's all like old world Hollywood,
mm-hmm.
where it's like they're making a movie.
You're right, because at the start it goes like Showtime, and like it has like the Hollywood kind of block lettering, but there's not even like a movie star character.
No.
It's not exactly. Are we watching some kind of like a pulp noir film? But that's not also made clear either.
And it's like, I thought that was kind of weird. And what offsets it is in the story mode, which embarrassingly I really got into the story.
It's scattered, and you really have to pick up the pieces to weave together.
That's what I like about it, is that they were able to take all the character stories and weave it into a comprehensible. Yeah,
you have to
fiction.
Play through as every character and then step back and look at it as a whole for
Definitely.
It to make sense.
But they don't tell the story in a cinematic style, which seems to go completely against this whole movie grain.
Yeah.
Because it's like the story's told through still shots. If this is a movie, maybe they should move. Maybe the characters should move and tell a story instead of being stills. It just seemed, that's a point of contention with me, is that I felt like the game did not know how to package itself.
Because the music is all like big band.
Yeah.
Kind of stuff, which I like a lot.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
What you said, I guess the setting is kind of is a very like Art Deco, like 1920s-ish.
Kind of. It's kind also of thing, kind of futuristic because there's aliens and...
Yeah, all different animals populate the city, and then it's two big warring mafia families that you're kind of in the middle of. That's a kind of the story in the backdrop.
I thought that it was pretty lame at first. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie. I thought when I first... The first character I played as was Parasol.
Oh.
And the story... I don't know. I saw all these guys that kind of look like Nazis wearing armbands with the swastikas
of
their moon.
They all look like
and
Nazis.
And umbrellas are put on. It was like, I'm not sure I'm going to like this story.
Did you notice Parasol's symbol?
Yeah, the upside down cross.
An upside down cross. Uh-huh. So I was like, what's going on?
Yeah, there's some debatable symbolism going on, I think. But I think that's kind of revealed in some of the story, that upside down cross you see in the cathedral of the Trinity. And as we find out from the story, spoilers, the Trinity is not so good.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, at least the main deity in the Trinity is what's behind all this Skullgirl stuff.
Yeah, I thought all the characters, for the most part, I really enjoyed all the characters and their flavor. And of course, they're drawn anime style, big eyes, hair, outfits, and they're all built like pinup girls.
Most of them,
that's true. There's some that aren't. Let's see. I feel like the character Philia.
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 I don't know.
I feel like she's the main character of the game.
She's, do you think so?
I think she is.
Why do you think that?
I feel every time, like,
she looks the part.
She looks the part, and she's sort of like the innocent, like, she has amnesia, she doesn't remember, she has a cool partner in Samson, the symbiote that she has. She's in a lot of the games, like art or cutscenes, she's always present.
The symbiote is, they call them parasites. And
although they both get benefits, so technically they're a symbiote.
Yeah. No, I agree. And not only that, but Samson, her parasite, totally looks like the Venom symbiote.
Yes.
And it's also her hair. So we're going back to some Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3 marriage rapture times with Sindel and all her mighty hair powers.
Because her story sets off, I don't remember the name of the painting, where it's people in a 24-hour diner.
Yeah, look, man, I've got my BFA. I should know that. I think it's like Nighthawks or something like that, but I'm not 100% positive.
Tony will tell us what we're talking about.
Man, I hope Lord Dennis tells us, because he got his degree with me.
But you start off as, like, I feel like she's the main character. She progresses through. Her wish is to, her and Samson, to reclaim her memory. But Samson's also subtly manipulating her. Samson clearly has, like, he knows who she is and whatever her past is, mm-hmm. and he's not telling her, and he's very subtly manipulating her to do things, which is interesting.
He's a parasite, not a symbiote.
Well, that's true. He is taking from her. I guess you're right. He is.
I don't know, man. I totally think she looks the part for, like, the title character, but I don't think she's involved enough in the main story.
Yeah, she's not involved with any of the mafias or Marie, really. I mean,
she kind of is, because she's, spoilers, she's when her memories regain, she remembers that she's from the Medici family, mm-hmm. which is the freaking mafia family.
Mm-hmm. That everybody wants to kill. Everybody hates the Medici. Right.
And also, she ties in with Pain Wheel.
I love Pain Wheel.
Because she and Pain Wheel, I think, went to school together.
Mm-hmm.
And Pain Wheel, love the character.
Mm-hmm.
Love the character. Completely underpowered, though.
That's a big complaint, is that the power of the individual characters just fluctuates wildly.
Unbalanced. Way unbalanced. I guess before we get into Pain Wheel or the balance, I want to point out that Philia, the one with Samson, mm-hmm. the hair, Sindel, reminded me a lot of Venom from Marvel vs. Capcom 2. Like, the way Samson looks. Yes, we get biblical reference in case. we like how he looks. His moveset looks really similar to Venom's in Marvel vs. Capcom. Like, her hair will shoot out and teeth will come out and open and clamp.
Yeah.
That's because this game was based heavily on Marvel vs. Capcom 2.
Okay, because I know there's also, it's not used very often. There is a tag system and a system where you bring in your partner and
yep.
things like that. But I guess they realized, like, we can incorporate that a whole lot because that's really obvious.
I think they were pretty blatant, man. Ms. Fortune, yeah. the cat girl, mm-hmm. one of her specials, when she does it, it looks exactly like Wolverine's special. And she says Berserker Barrage. I laughed my ass off. I know we haven't talked about any of these characters yet, but Valentine, the nurse, mm-hmm. her slash, she's essentially got Deadpool's moveset from Marvel vs. Capcom 3, because that's all his moves. And in her special, the one where she performs surgery mm-hmm. and she moves back and forth between them, that's Deadpool's special from Marvel vs. Capcom 3. Mm. So they borrowed heavily.
Yeah.
Also, Sarabella, the large-breasted lady with giant muscular arms coming out of her head. She does the Hulk clap. A lot of her moves are Hulk's moves from Marvel vs. Capcom 2.
Mm.
They borrowed heavily, but didn't balance the game like Marvel vs. Capcom 2 is balanced.
Sarabella is just like,
you want to talk about her for a bit?
Yeah.
Circus performer?
Yep.
Would you say, Tyler, biggest breast in the game?
Her or Valentine?
We haven't really touched on that a whole lot.
This is where the fan service comes in.
There is a lot of it.
Not every character has, like, ridiculously huge boobs. Boobs. It's not like Dead or Alive where that's just...
It's true. Some of them have ridiculously large butts.
Yeah. Yep. So you take your pick. Whatever you are.
Some of them have long legs and short skirts. this is one of the games that while I'm playing it, I would be embarrassed if a stranger came up behind me.
It because of that kind of thing, it crosses the line into guilty pleasure game territory.
Definitely. But because we are who we are and we're completely honest and open on the mics, mm-hmm. I'd play it in front of any of the listeners.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm fine to talk about it. I'm fine to say that I'm a little embarrassed, but deep down, I like that fan service, man. Like, I get it. Mm-hmm. I understand. Like, the developers knew what they were doing, and a lot of it is tongue in cheek. Obviously, like, for instance, when the battle starts, it says, "Ladies and gentlemen, it's showtime." Mm-hmm. Well, that comes up on the screen, and after "gentlemen," they flash a question mark. Just to imply, if you're playing this game, you're probably not a gentleman.
Have you seen High School of the Dead?
I have not seen High School of the Dead. It's been recommended to me, but I haven't watched it.
This reminds me of High School of the Dead. It takes like kind of a serious tone. Like, High School of the Dead is about a zombie attack in Japan. A serious tone, but it just has like ludicrous amounts of fan service. And all the girls are built like that. It's just zombies plus fan service equals High School of the Dead.
Yeah.
So this in that it was death and murder and mafia along with anime fan service.
Well, I'm glad you said that because it kind of reminded me a little bit of Kill La Kill, which is kind of a newer anime that mm-hmm. came out. Man, people go back and forth on whether or not it's fan service or not because, I mean, you look at it at first glance and it's like, oh yeah, that's fan service mm-hmm. because there is a schoolgirl scantily clad. The only thing covering her up is a few like suspender straps. But because of the actual narrative of the story, I start to wonder, it's like, is it really fan service? Because at a point, they're kind of referencing that within the anime itself and kind of questioning what is fan service and what is not.
Hmm. Okay. I that's on my list to watch. So
I definitely recommend
that and Attack on Titan.
This game, however, I don't think does that. I don't think this game makes you question whether or not it's right or not. Mm. I think there's just like, hey, we like boobs and butts, so we're gonna put it in this game.
I feel like the only two characters that are just overtly fan service are Sarabella and Valentine.
I don't know, man.
Especially Valentine changing behind a curtain right before she fights.
Yeah, definitely. So. And then Parasol.
Sarabella's ending. Parasol, yeah, that's true.
Oh yeah, Sarabella's ending mm-hmm. where she is. Like, she does a complete heel turn, man, because Sarabella seems like she is an okay person. Mm-hmm. She's just a circus performer doing her thing, da-da-da, gonna get the skull heart. And then she just straight up murders another character.
Mm-hmm. And at the end, she's sitting on the mafia boss's lap in a Jessica Rabbit dress, like, did I do the right thing?
Yeah, she dresses a Playboy bunny. Her cup spilleth over, to steal that joke from the 1990s.
But let's see. I guess the character who's not at all fan service, Peacock.
Peacock, my favorite character.
I was just about to say that. Whenever I played Peacock, I was like, this is going to be Dave's favorite.
She was my favorite character. Why do you think she was my favorite?
Because she's ridiculous. She is ridiculous. She is basically a 1920s cartoon amalgamation.
Yes.
Like, she looks like Steamboat Willie kind mm-hmm. of colored. I could have appreciated it if she'd been done in black and white. But
yeah, that would have been cool.
She's colored kind of that Steamboat Willie style. She's an experiment because she has several different symbiotes. Normally,
parasite
people only have
styling.
One parasite. Normally, they only have one, but she has several.
Yes.
So she's kind of insane. She only really loves cartoons, so all of her moveset are all based on old cartoon tropes.
Yeah, exactly. Like, she has a gun that shoots anything but bullets. And mm-hmm. I think she has another move where she does fire a bullet, but it is like a bullet bill yeah. from Mario Brothers.
She throws whipped cream pies.
Yeah.
She has jumps where she gets on like a springboard and it vaults her across.
She's super fast. She's mm-hmm. small. Her special, where you kind of find out why she's called Peacock, because her parasites fan out like a tail and shoot lasers out.
Mm-hmm.
I like that you brought up Steamboat Willie because I've got in my notes, she looks like Steamboat Willie's psychotic ex-girlfriend.
That works. But yeah, there's nothing sexy about Peacock, like, at all.
I like that too.
Yeah.
I like that too because I felt like, I can play this character and not feel like a total douchebag.
Because she was just like a little kid at an orphanage who was picked up and heavily, heavily experimented on.
Yeah.
By these people who were trying to, I guess, sort of replicate. make tools to defeat the Skull Girl, but at the same time replicate the Skull Girl.
Yeah, I think she was actually, she was an orphan, and the Mafia did something with the orphanage, because you find out like throughout all these stories that the Mafia was just, I guess, beating up orphans, man, because that's what the Mafia does, because that makes money. I don't know. But like the lab founder, and essentially she's the bionic psychotic girl that they rebuilt in the lab to hunt Skull Girls.
And she was friends with the Skull Girl Marie. They grew up in the orphanage together.
Yes.
So.
Who's also the boss of the game.
Yep. She's dressed in a little French maid's uniform. Not a sexy French maid's uniform, but just a regular French maid uniform.
Right. I'm not sure why. She's like a necromancer maid.
Yeah, that's true. I thought the most character I had the most fun playing with was Valentine. I thought Valentine was so much fun.
She is the first unlockable character.
She's the big antagonist throughout the game, because she's always wanting to experiment on people, luring people to the Skullgirl to fight them. She's baits people, but whenever you play her...
Total Lannister. She should be blonde, I think, but she has blue hair.
That she's like a ninja nurse. Yeah, Deadpool. Like her moveset, she has scalpels and saws. Her heavy attack is a body bag with someone alive still in it kicking and a blood transfusion.
I like to think of her as she reminded me a lot of Daryl Hannah from Kill Bill Volume 1 when she's in the hospital. Do you know what I'm talking about? Because Valentine also has only one eye, and she's got the other eye socket filled with gauze, and then she's wearing the nurse outfit, of course, except that she has blue hair. Other than that, I think she looks very much.
It looks like similar base, yeah. But she was fun. She created Pain Wheel, which Pain Wheel was a little girl who was kidnapped and basically just mutilated into being a tool to kill a Skull Girl. She was infused with Skull Girl's blood, given a tail, like a scorpion-like tail with a huge wheel of blades in the back of it that she uses to fly. A pinwheel of knives, yeah.
A giant pinwheel. She reminded me of Marrow from the X-Men.
Very much. Very, very much.
And I guess that kind of makes sense again with the Marvel vs. Capcom.
Yeah. So then there were two DLC characters. One was free and one was to pay for.
Guess which one I got.
I spent the money and bought the DLC character Squiggly. Even though she is dead, her parasite is still like very much her friend and sticks with her and guards her while she's slumbers.
This one is truly a symbiote, it sounds like.
Yeah, because the symbiote goes through her head, so it makes her immune to a lot of like mind control. Like she can't. Marie is a necromancer.
Because there's so much of that in the game. Well, thanks a lot, Parasite.
Like Marie being a necromancer, she should be able to control Squiggly, but because of her parasite / symbiote, she can't.
Gotcha.
So that's why and Squiggly controls differently. Squiggly is all about like counters and blocks, as opposed to the other characters are traditional fighting game characters. She has more counters and things like that.
Okay, cool. I didn't pay for her. She was like, was she $4.99?
$2.50.
Really? Okay. There must have been a sale because when I checked today, I was on the fence. I was like, I think I enjoyed this game enough to warrant seeing how much it is. Oh, $5? No. No, I'm not doing it. I would have done it for $2.50 though.
Yeah. I'll probably continue to invest into this game for a little while to see the story. And I did have fun playing it. I thought it was I enjoyed the aesthetic and the characters. The actual fighting component was pretty mediocre. Like there was nothing exceptional about it for the fighting style wise.
And the balance we talked about briefly, the game is wildly unbalanced. Mm-hmm. If you want to just mash your way through the game, you absolutely can. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you who to play, Sarah Bella, because she is essentially Hulk from Marvel vs. Capcom 2. But she is, I don't know, has the speed of Chun-Li. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, she's got the reach of Hulk from those giant hands coming out of her head. All you have to do, I mean, you could just heavy punch your way through the game.
As I did. That is exactly what I did with Sarah Bella. Exactly. So.
And on top of that, her special moves are actually pretty powerful, too. Mm-hmm. And I also thought Peacock was overpowered as well.
Yeah.
Just because she is small, quick, and then her projectiles I mean, you can spam the screen with projectiles.
Then the other DLC character that is free was Big Band.
Big Band, the only
band you can play in the game.
Interesting, yes.
So really...
He's a skull boy.
Well, he, because it's only, I don't know, the skull only reacts, skull heart only reacts to women, so right. I guess Big Band never even had a chance.
He just wants to destroy it.
Yeah.
He just wants to destroy it because he knows that it's evil.
He's a good cop in a bad city.
Yes.
And the bad cops basically beat him nearly to death, mm-hmm. and then he gets implanted with saxophones.
He is, when I first saw him, I thought he is RoboCop. If RoboCop was in New Orleans circa 1930, where they just found this beaten, battered cop, and they're like, we got to rebuild him. What do we got? I don't know. We got a tenor sax, a trombone, a tuba. Let's work it out.
Well, the hell, rocket ship on his feet.
Yeah.
It's all fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
How's he going to get around? Big jacket.
Yep.
Big jacket and a scuba mask.
He kind of looks like a giant vacuum cleaner now. Yep.
He can deal with it.
He's alive, isn't he? I wouldn't call that living.
You were really good with his special moves. It was impressive to watch you play as Big Band.
Yeah, but no, I could pull off his special moves, but I would still just lose. Because it's like, you, on the other hand, like, this is a perfect example of how this game, what kind of fighter this is. I could pull off all his special moves and just fucking not progress at all, but...
I got cheesy
heavy punch.
Just doing heavy punch,
and you beat the game. Which, I mean, it's not a slight against you. I just think...
But that is how I play fighting games, though, because I've always been awful at, like, special moves. Like, I'll fuck it up, and I'll be nervous the whole time trying to do special moves, and I'll just get slaughtered. It's always been the way it is for me, and I have to just juggle between light, medium, and heavy punch and kick. It's just... how I always do.
But that's viable, though. I mean, because I think that you build on those fundamentals. I think, honestly, I rely on special moves way too much. I think I would do a lot better if I just mixed up some fundamental
attacks. So we do the fusion dance. We will be amazing at fighting
games. We will be the best. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we will be the best. We'll be the Steve Wiebes of Skullgirls. Write it down. Put the date. Circle the date on the
we
calendar.
We have to be the first people to use that sentence.
In the history of the world ever. And we just documented it on a podcast, Tyler.
So if you Google Steve Wiebe of Skullgirls, Tadpog is the first hit. Oh, shit. Overall, I had a good time with it. It was worth the $375 I paid for it.
It was certainly worth the free, because thank you for gifting me this game.
You're welcome.
I have to be honest with you. What's the retail of this game?
$15.
Not worth it.
Yeah.
I would recommend you to buy it for $5.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's worth it. I think even the half off, the $7.50 sale, probably worth
probably
it.
Probably fair.
If you like fighting games and if you like big boobs and big butts.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of those. It's got that going for it. Also, if you like hitting heavy punch over and over again, there's that too.
Yeah, but yeah, it's a good buy. It's a guilty pleasure game, like sort of like Lollipop Chainsaw. It is. Yeah.
But see, I think Lollipop Chainsaw was smarter with the fan service than this game.
Yeah.
Because it's clearly in Lollipop Chainsaw, but they kind of reference it and kind of own it.
Yeah, accepting it and then just, yeah, that's the way it should be kind of about. Not like, what? No, that's just our style. You know, no.
And they do kind of... do that a little bit in Skullgirls, but only with Peacock, because she's the one that breaks the fourth wall.
Yeah.
So they'll make slight references. And she's also the one who's not, pardon my phrase here, she's the only one who's not tarted up.
Yeah. Well, her and Painwheel.
And I guess Big Band.
Sexy either.
But still.
Big Band is sexy as hell. What are you talking about?
Duke Silver. I thought some of the art seemed unfinished and rough. Like the backgrounds.
Yeah.
Like the characters, like you can tell that's where they put all of their effort. Mm-hmm. They wanted the characters to look polished and they wanted the animation to be smooth and part of the character. I say that because Peacock was kind of herky jerky because, well, she's like a 1930s cartoon. The frame rate's going to be worse on her. So I thought that was cool.
Yeah, playing through Parasol was a bad character, but... She was animated really, really well.
Parasol, I've gotten my notes, which I haven't even scratched the surface of my notes. Parasol, I think, is if Victoria Beckham played Black Widow in the Avengers.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good.
If you can picture that in your mind, and she has an umbrella, then you've got, then you know exactly what Parasol
really,
looks like.
That's really good. That's really good. Any other combinations of note?
I do want to mention that I think they totally left this open for sequel territory.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that, or DLC character territory, because there is a character we see several times in other endings called Black Dahlia.
Mm-hmm.
Who works with the mafia family, and she looks like a badass, and she totally fits the Art Deco theme.
Mm-hmm.
But we never see her in the game.
We only see her shadow,
or we see her a still shot of her in a character's ending.
I think it's Peacock's ending.
You may be right. I can't remember. They're honestly kind of blur together for me because the stories blur together.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of feel like we're going to see her again if there's a sequel or if they continue to make DLC.
And the same for Brain Drain.
Who
is another, like, there are two labs also experimenting on people, mm-hmm. and Brain Drain is going back and forth between the, he even goes to the good lab a little bit.
Yeah.
Because he played part in Big Band's creation, so he's just this shadowy neon figure, like neon brain and eyes and then shadowy everything else that is mental manipulation. You see him a few, he's mentioned a lot, and you see him like physically in Big Band's all throughout his story.
I thought for sure you were gonna fight him.
I was hoping so.
Because you don't fight him, you only see him in cutscenes, and it kind of feels like in Big Band's story they're leading up for them to fight, mm-hmm. but you don't, unfortunately. If I had a closing thought on this game, mm-hmm. it would be this, Tyler. I feel like this game belongs on Comedy Central late night in the mid-90s in between Dr. Katz and The Critic. that's where I feel like this game lives and excels.
You take out Duckman, you put in Skullgirls, you're good.
Yep.
It had achievements. I don't have any achievements for it, but the achievements were shitty.
They are shitty.
It's like, do a move 100 times for various characters. And like,
I've got one achievement.
Okay.
I've got one achievement. I liked it enough to write it down. And it's just because I like the title. It's Big Trouble and Little Innsmouth. And it's in order to unlock Big Trouble and Little Innsmouth, you have to beat the game as Ms. Fortune. She's the cat girl mm-hmm. who looks like a Mithra from Final Fantasy XI. Mm-hmm. She looks exactly, she's got the same haircut and everything. And it just tickled me because Innsmouth, of course, H.P. Lovecraft. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge fan, so I had to work that in. And she's a cat, so she lives with the fish, and it's funny.
It's all fish and shark people. There's got to be like an octopus somewhere to round out the metaphor.
I love it. We running super long, Tyler.
We're coming up on an hour.
Okay. Well, I've got, before we wrap it up, I do have a very important question to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
And we do this little thing on the show where I like to think that we transcend numbers.
Mm.
Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely.
It has nothing to do with the fact that we are horrible. We are just awful at math. So instead of math, what we've done is we've started a new culture where instead of using math to figure out the world's problems and to just kind of figure out how we even work with the world,
mm-hmm.
we measure everything in two things. The first being beards.
Mm.
So by that logic, if you were to give this game a beard, Tyler, that explained to the world how you felt about it, what kind of beard would you give it?
Are you familiar with the Disney classic Hercules?
And I would not call that a classic. I would call that a classic story.
It's probably in the vault.
That's post-Aladdin, man. Anything post-Aladdin is not a classic.
Mm.
Maybe. Mm.
People are really digging this Frozen that's about right now.
You want to go see it? I know you're a big movie guy.
I'm not laying my head in your lap during Frozen.
That's fine. Look, trust me. That's how I prefer to watch any movie, is with a head in my lap. Hi-o.
Well, the wonderful James Woods voices Hades.
Yes.
So Hades, his telling physical attribute is his flaming hair.
Yes.
So take his flaming hair and instead make it a flaming beard. I give it a flaming Hades beard.
Okay, sweet. Is it because you just drank a flaming Mo?
Damn right. Oh, back when The Simpsons was good.
I can't comment. I haven't seen it recently. Mm-hmm. I hear it's bad, but I can't. Mm-hmm. I can't say that it's bad.
I'll just drop in every now and then and watch a few episodes, and it's just like, fuck.
See, I make that mistake on Treehouse of Horror because I used to love Treehouse of Horror. So I used to, like, as I got older and stopped watching The Simpsons, right? I would just check in at Halloween. And it was just because I love the Treehouse of Horror. So I'd check in at Halloween and be like, man, this is pretty awful, but the rest, the like normal show probably isn't this bad. It's probably just because it's kind of weird because it's the Treehouse of Horror, but it's bad.
It's bad.
Okay, I'm sorry.
So, yeah.
Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
The other half of all our mathematical equations mm-hmm. involve glasses or spectacles. Mm-hmm. If you were to give this game a pair of glasses that you put on every morning when you think about Skullgirls, what kind would it be?
Well, this can manifest glasses mm-hmm. and you put it over your eyes. I give it the mask from The Mask.
Oh, man, that is good.
The mask with the yellow zoot suit.
That
is everything.
That nails the feeling of this show or this game and this show. This episode.
It's a more serious version of The Mask.
A theatrical version. This is very rare, Tyler, but I have glasses that I would give this game. Mm. Do you mind?
Please.
All right. This is what I give this game. You know, when you're dating a young lady, mm-hmm. or maybe you're married to this young lady, mm-hmm. and you really want to get on her nerves, so you take her bra and turn it upside down and put it over your eyes. I give it that. Because this game is so fucking gratuitous.
Okay. All right.
Some people did call us. We're running super long.
Yep.
We also have people to thank. We're running super long. Mm-hmm. Man, I feel like an asshole because we haven't thanked anybody in a long time. So I'm sorry.
We'll get to it, though. We'll get to calls and emails and things.
We keep saying that, Tyler, but we never deliver. We at some point, we have to deliver.
We will. Eventually, we will deliver.
We have to. We're gonna lose our listeners. If we don't show our appreciation, mm-hmm. they're just going to unsubscribe, man. That's true. I do it all the time. Every podcast I listen to and they don't thank me, I unsubscribe.
Sure, you don't tweet or message them or anything, no. But they should just know.
I'm down to 22. That's how many. All the other podcasts in the world don't thank me.
Oh. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find the show on iTunes or Stitcher. So you don't miss the next episode, we'll be talking about IGN's 34th ranked game, Lufia 2. Rise of the Sinistral, I think that's the tagline.
Rise of the, yeah, Sinistrals. Sinistrals. The Sentinels.
Sinistrals.
Which I'm not playing. We talked about that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to play that.
I understand.
I'm just going to ask you questions about it. We're gonna have Josh of Uniracer's mm-hmm, fame, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Maybe. Can we commit to that?
He and I worship this game as kids.
Is he on the books for that episode?
He's down. Cool. I've got him down.
All right.
If not, it's a... He has to cancel. Give us 24 hours notice, or he has to pay a $30 cancellation fee.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. I like. Let's start signing up as many guest hosts as we can, especially the ones who are out of state.
It's like, Blake, why aren't you here again? It's
$30. We'll invoice you. We'll slide it in a hot and ready pizza box, so you won't even notice.
While you're there, don't forget to subscribe. Give the show a 5-star rating. Write a review. There's a game you want us to talk about included in that review, and we'll get to it.
Eventually. We're not going to thank you, though, because we don't do that anymore. We're not appreciative enough.
Eventually.
I'm stressing out about it.
It's okay. I've got an idea.
Okay. Don't worry, guys. Like Tyler said, we will be back. Even though we don't thank you, and we should, we will be back. Well, I hope that you will accept us back into your homes, into your cars, into your open arms, into your laps.
Mostly your cars.
Mostly your cars, and mostly, if you had to choose between listening to Tadpog or watching Cruel Intentions, man, if you would choose Tadpog, I would really appreciate that.
Especially if you're in your car.
Yeah, particularly. I mean, if it's between us and watching season three of The Office, I say watch season three of The Office. But I mean,
that's probably the best season.
I mean, we have more content recorded than they do, but whatever. That may or may not be true. You can always find us on tadpog.com. That's where the show notes live. Who knows? We might have links or something on there. Maybe. I don't know. Check it out. We're also on Facebook. That is facebook.com/tadpog. There are a lot of cool people there doing a lot of cool shit. We're also on Twitter. You can find us at tadpog_podcast. It is cumbersome, I realize. Really appreciate all the retweets on there, guys, and getting the word out about the show. You can also call us. We didn't play calls this time, but we will eventually. You can reach us at 270-883-2555. Tyler, can you verify that is correct?
That is correct.
Fantastic. Our theme song, Tyler, is Moves by Sycamore Drive. A link to that track can be found in the show notes at tadpog.com.
Till next time,
Tropical Capricorn. This podcast should just be 50 minutes of eating noises.
That's what it sounds like when we eat ham sandwiches. Turkey sound any different? I don't know. Let's try it. This is going to be a mystery sandwich. Can you guess what it is?